sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and as you also heard, lurking across the table here, I'm joined by my co-host, Sarah Waits.
Considering you can't see me, you don't know if I'm lurking or not.
I know you're lurking. I always sense when you're lurking across the table. And people say, well, if she's on the other side of the table, how come you can't see her? It's not because my eyes have gone that bad, although I am old and my eyes are decaying, but it's because we have large computer screens between us. So anyway, we're also joined by my daughter, Sheila.
Hello.
You may be asking why we have her back on again. Well, the answer is, this is National Adoption Month.
Mm-hmm. November is National Adoption Month.
That's right. And Sheila is our favorite adopted child.
She's your only adopted child.
Well, she's not the only adopted child in the world.
No, not in the world, no.
I am the only adopted child on this podcast.
That's right. We want to talk about the issue of adoption. We've talked about it in the past. But we want to get a perspective here that we maybe haven't really fully explored on previous editions. And that is, what is it like for an adopted child to grow up in the pro-life movement like Sheila did? My wife and I decided early on that we would not try to shield Sheila from what we did or any of the realities of abortion. There wasn't any way to really do that, considering that we worked in this 24/7.
And the nature of what Life Dynamics does versus some other pro-life groups, considering the malpractice cases and the things that you dealt with.
And the undercover work. And we're having to deal with some pretty grim aspects of the abortion issue.
Yeah.
So we made a conscious decision that we would not shield Sheila from that. And as a result of that, she grew up knowing things about being adopted and being involved in the pro-life movement that other children her age never understood, never had any reason to know about. I know, Sheila, that you thought about it because there were times when you brought it up to me.
You realize how precious life is. You know, the pro-life movement celebrates adoption and celebrates babies versus a pro-abortion movement hating adoption and what it stands for, because it stands for life.
But the other thing it stands for, Sheila, is lost profit. Mm-hmm. You know, I always said to your mother and I, you mean the world. Mm-hmm. To Planned Parenthood, you were about $400 lost profit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And you would always point out that I was in the realm of this historic list of people, special people who are adopted. And it's not like an exclusion thing. It's a you're special thing.
Right.
And the pro-life movement celebrates that compared to pro-abortion side. And a lot of pro-life people are the ones that adopt. They openly say, don't have an abortion, we'll adopt your baby. And that happens a lot.
In fact, Life News tweeted just a couple days ago, they say that pro-life people don't care about children after birth, but 12 Texas families last week adopted 20 foster care children on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and so the pro-aborts can't say that, you know, the pro-life movement, pro-life people don't care about these individuals. They just are forced birthers because that's proven to be untrue.
Well, if you're saying that a baby can't be murdered, then in a way you are a forced birther. And I don't shy away from that. I mean,
well, isn't birth just a term for a baby exiting the womb?
It's changing position.
A child exits the womb one way or another. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you deliver or you have an abortion, a child is born.
Dead or alive.
Mm-hmm. Dead or alive.
The change in environment doesn't make someone dead or alive.
Right. And it doesn't change whether they're living human beings or not, based on their location.
Pro-choice people will say, well, it's a fetus. It hasn't been born yet. So it's not a person. It's a fetus. Well, fetus is just a term indicating development after the embryonic stage and before a child has left the womb. It is not some sort of magical difference making it not human. It's just a term for development, just like toddler, teen. They're all stages of a human being. That's it.
Well, if I showed you a one-day-old baby and I said, is this a living human being? most people would say, well, obviously it's a living human being. Okay, what was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm. But going back to adoption, the pro-choicers are the ones that put a stigma on adoption. They try to make it seem like a terrible thing. And the pro-lifers are the one that point out how special it is. I've encountered people, though, that are adopted, though, that they don't seem to be pro-life. And that's just
sad.
That's mind-boggling to me. Like, if you were adopted, why aren't you pro-life? You could have easily been aborted.
Right. Well,
I think a lot of it has to do with not believing in the value of their own lives. Because I debated this girl in college. She came to a pro-life meeting, and she was very pro-choice, and we were having this discussion. And basically what it all boiled down to is because she said, I would have no problem if my mother aborted me. That was what she said. And to me, all this stems from the fact that you don't value your own life and you don't have that own self-esteem, because I can't personally say that if my mom had aborted me, I wouldn't have had any problem with it.
Yeah. They don't believe in the value of their own life, and they've been listening to the pro-aborts who say, oh, your life has no worth. The only way your life has worth is whether or not your mother chose to have you.
Yeah, you're valued based on whether somebody else wants you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've never used that as a yardstick for determining human worth. We only apply that standard to the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
We don't apply it to anybody that's born. We don't say that, let's say a woman is 40 years old and always wanted to be married and had kids, but never found a man who wanted to marry her. We don't say that she has no value because nobody wanted her.
Mm-hmm.
She has value because she's a living human being.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to be wanted to be valued.
And there's no such thing as unwanted children. I mean, every single child is wanted child. Someone would want them. There's actually a shortage of adoptable babies. And it's something that y'all talked about on a previous podcast.
Yeah, it was a couple episodes ago. And it was, the article you're referring to was in The Atlantic. And the title of the article was The New Question Haunting Adoption. And it says in that article that there are dozens of couples who are awaiting to adopt each available baby. So for each baby, there's dozens of couples. And one survey found that 37% of adopted families wait longer than a year.
We waited 4 years to get Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
It was over 4 years.
Yeah.
The babies aren't the problem. What's the problem is the system, the adoption system.
Well, it's the foster care system.
Well,
yeah.
Both.
Yeah. I mean, most of the children that are available for adoption are through the foster care system,
not the
private adoption system.
Even the private adoption system. The system is messed up, period, because it costs so much to adopt a child. There's limited children that are available for adoption, especially babies. And even with like the foster system, it's hard to adopt children through there just by the Child Protective Services' own standards.
Well, I'll tell you, if you think about what it costs to adopt now,
mm-hmm.
that article that Sarah referenced, I think they said now it was in excess of $45,000, something like that.
To adopt one child. That's just for one child.
When we adopted Sheila, as I remember, it was about $17,000, which was outrageous amount of money for us to come up with at that time, but we scrimped and saved and got rid of some retirement plans that we had and some retirement money that we had available to us, and we're able to come up with the money. But the fact is that at that time, the percentage of American couples
mm-hmm.
who could come up with $17,000 in cash was extremely small.
Oh, yeah.
And the percentage of Americans today that if they had to, could come up with $45,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like buying a $45,000 car where you can get a loan for it because you've got collateral.
Yeah.
You can't put your adopted baby up
for collateral. You can't put your child for collateral.
Right. But so you have to come up with all the money in cash.
Well, not just that. There's something else that's popping up because of the shortage of babies available for adoption. According to this article, there's a new cottage industry that's popping up of adoption facilitators, which basically charge around $20,000. This one says may charge $25,000 as an advertising fee to put it out there to find the birth mom.
Well, there's a lot of scams that are running around out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've encountered situations where a woman will be pregnant and she will string along four or five families.
Mm-hmm.
And get them to, quote unquote, support her living expenses while she's pregnant. And she has no intention of placing the baby with any of them. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely nothing that can be done when this thing falls. But the point I wanted to make about the incredibly small number of Americans, if you went around and asked married couples who are childless.
Or even single women who are childless and want to adopt.
Yeah. Could you come up with $45,000?
I couldn't. There's no way I could do that.
99% of the people in this country could not do it. Mm-hmm. So that means that the pool for people to adopt a baby is very small. And even in that pool, there's dozens of families who want to adopt and can't adopt, but can't get a baby. Mm-hmm. So the numbers are astronomical. Mm-hmm. And to suggest that if you outlawed abortion, which the pro-aborts do, that the country would be overrun with these teeming hordes of unwanted babies is simply a bald-faced lie, and they know it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sheila quoted me earlier. There's no such thing as an unwanted baby. Mm-hmm. Every baby that's butchered in these abortion mills is wanted by someone, mm-hmm. every single one of them.
In fact, you go even as far as to say that pro-abort shouldn't be allowed to adopt.
I've said that for years.
Yeah, and you get a lot of pro-aborts who call in and send you nasty emails and stuff.
I think this is a good time to say, if you're pro-choice and listening to this and you disagree, give us a call or put in a message. We'll put a link to that in the description, how you can contact us. Come on the show. Tell us why you think that we're wrong.
Tell us why somebody...
We'll debate this. That'll be a great topic.
Absolutely. Tell us, because I'll say it again, people who call themselves pro-choice should never, ever in a million years be allowed to adopt a baby. And my argument is that if you hand them a newborn baby, you're handing them a baby that they said a month earlier had no right to life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't want that baby being raised by that kind of person.
Because they obviously don't cherish life.
Right.
Like pro-lifers do.
Right. And it's a disgrace that anybody who's pro-choice would be allowed to adopt a baby. I do not understand it. I'll never understand it.
And at the same time, you also say that adoption isn't the answer to abortion. And there are some pro-lifers who would disagree with you on that.
Well, yeah, those are pro-lifers, though, who don't work in this every day and don't truly understand what's going on.
Or understand the dynamics, the motivation for getting an abortion.
Well, that's right. And what you have to understand is that for a woman who is pregnant, when she has an abortion, in 99% of the cases, it has nothing to do with the fact that she doesn't want to have a baby. It has to do with the fact that she doesn't want to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is,
and adoption doesn't solve that issue.
Yeah. Which I think a testament to that is how popular Plan B has become and why people have been pushing so long for Plan B and stuff to just be available over the counter.
The little philosophical game that I play on this is, if you could imagine that there was a magic pill, mm-hmm. that a woman could take, she's 3 months pregnant or 8 weeks pregnant or whatever, or at least 6 weeks pregnant, whatever it is. And this pill would allow her to end the gestation right then with a living baby. In other words, the next 7 or 8 months goes by in a matter of hours, and she delivers a baby, and somebody else is there to take the baby and adopt that baby and walk away with it. I guarantee you very few of those women would have abortions, because the problem that they're having is not that they don't want to have a baby. It's that they don't want to be pregnant.
And then when a lot of women get abortions, they're doing it to conceal the pregnancy from other people. Like, mm-hmm. they don't want other people in their lives knowing that they were even pregnant to begin with, whether it be the father of the child or friends, family, coworkers, you name it.
Well, very often it's a teenage girl who doesn't want her parents to know she's sexually active.
Yeah.
The abortion industry has put such a stigma on being pregnant that a bunch of people have bought into it.
Yeah.
I mean, you even have abortionists on Twitter that we follow who tell the lie that it's safer to have an abortion than go through childbirth. Right. Excuse me? You're telling me that right. hundreds of years with our medical technology, especially, that it's safer to have an abortion to kill your child than it is to go through the natural process of childbirth.
Well, again, I want to challenge some pro-abort out there that's listening to this that thinks abortion is health care and that it's safe and all that. Mm-hmm. Go through all the medical text you can find, mm-hmm. and find me the condition that affects pregnant women that is cured by having an abortion. Tell me which disease, which condition, what kind of injury that's occurred to some woman that's pregnant is cured by killing the baby? And the answer is there isn't one. There is no such thing.
Well, and I think a lot of this is connected to the stigma that's put on not just pregnancy in general. Like the abortion industry will say, if you're a woman with an unplanned pregnancy, basically that you can't achieve your dreams if you're a mother and this is an unplanned child.
Your life is over.
Your life is over. Right. But especially if you're a teen who's pregnant. At that point, the message, and it's kind of been adopted not just by the abortion lobby and the pro-choice side, but by other people as well, is the teenager's life is over. And I think this is something that we need to focus on and address because this fuels abortion. And we talked about this in a previous episode. I'll put the link to that so people can go listen to that episode because there's a lot of really good points brought up in that.
An example of that that you always bring up is I went to private school. There were, you know, some females when I was in high school who found themselves pregnant and they got kicked out of school.
Well, the girl did, the guy didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And it takes two to create a baby.
Well, we did a survey on that. This was long before we started talking about it a lot back in the old days on Life Talk. But we found out that a local Christian school had a written policy that if a girl became pregnant, she got thrown out. Mm-hmm. I became livid at this policy. And I had done a seminar for this particular school. And I went to them and I challenged them on this. And I was pretty upset and they could tell. And this guy says to me, this dean of students or whatever he was, he's from top muckety muck in this school.
Muckety muck.
Muckety muck. That's a technical term. But anyway, he says, look, we're a Christian-based school and we just can't have pregnant girls walking down the hallways. I said, well, wait a minute. Do you not realize that you're forcing girls that go to a very, what's known as a very conservative Christian school,
it's supposed to be pro-life,
that's at all the pro-life events, and they were. They were at all the pro-life events in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I said, you're forcing those girls, most of whom, probably all of whom, would probably tell you they're pro-life, you're forcing them to have abortions.
Yeah, or, you know, get kicked out of school.
Get kicked out of school. And he said, well, I understand that, but we just can't do that. And I said, okay, let me ask you this question. What do you do about the boy? Let's say this girl says that the boy I'm pregnant by is also a student at the school. Do you kick him out? And he said, no, what we do is we bring him in and counsel with him.
So the problem is not the premarital sex. The problem is the baby.
The problem is the baby.
Mm-hmm. Whether they want to say that or not, that's exactly what they're saying.
I challenge him on that. And he would never admit that.
And he's also someone who probably supports local pregnancy resource centers.
They did. They supported the CPC.
Yeah. Who do they think those women are? You know, most of those women are unmarried women who need assistance.
Well, and I also ask him on that the baby is the problem thing. The follow-up that I asked him on that was, I said, what if you discovered that this girl was not pregnant, but that they were having a sexual relationship? Would you kick them out then or kick her out? And he said, no, we would bring them in and counsel them. I said, so once again,
the problem is the baby.
The problem is the baby. You're taking the pro-abortion position. Mm-hmm. That is the standard pro-abortion position, is that the baby is the problem. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I can't tell you how angry I was about that. But what it led to is we bought a mailing list of Christian schools around the country. Mm-hmm. And the young lady, Lisa Beaulieu, that worked for me at the time, she and another young lady that worked for me actually did phone calls to these schools. And we wanted to find out if this was a common thing or if it was just something that was related only to this school here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that it was extremely common
That's sad.
Christian and sometimes Catholic schools would not allow a pregnant girl to go to class.
And I saw it firsthand at my school that I went to. And they think that, you know, oh, this will keep the students from talking or whatever. No, we know what's going on. We're not idiots. Instead of the schools, you
keeping teenagers from gossiping?
You know, helping the female.
You think it's that easy? Yeah. Bless your heart.
I mean, if something happens in a high school, within 30 minutes, every kid in the school knows about it.
So. Yeah, before the teachers ever do.
Right.
And so what kind of message does that send to the other students? It shows, oh, being pregnant and having a baby is bad.
Yeah.
Well, so. And it's cutting off a girl from support that she needs when she's scared and terrified at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's also communicating to her that if you make a mistake or if you do something that, you know, you may regret, well, that's it. There's no mercy. There's no compassion. There's no forgiveness. That's it. And what kind of Christian message does that send?
Well, this is an example of something I've talked about many times in the past, and that is those of us on the pro-life Christian side of this need to be very aware of the actions and even sometimes just the rhetoric that we use that's counterproductive to the life message. And when we raise our girls to believe that if you get pregnant when you're a teenager, your life is over, then we're setting them up for the abortion industry.
Yeah.
And the fact is that a teen pregnancy is not something that any parent wants for their daughter. But the fact is, your life is not over. There are a lot of girls who have babies as teenagers and go on to live very successful lives. Lots of them.
And you can't snuff out a life in the process either.
Right.
I mean, the abortion industry has open arms to these girls and females. And they say, oh, we'll take care of you. We'll take care of it. And a bunch listen to them.
I don't have children, but being a former child, I would say this say this to parents. I think all parents should sit down and talk with their child and say, look, I'm not telling you to go out and have sex before marriage. I'm not saying you go out and have sex, period. But I want you to know that if you find out that you are pregnant, I am here for you. I will not kick you out. I will support you. We will make things work. I love you no matter what.
Absolutely.
Because I can tell you that even if your parents love you and support you and all this, there's that voice in the back of your head, whether they're sexually active or not, that says, if I get pregnant outside of wedlock, my parents won't be there for me. And that just fuels the abortion industry. So whether or not your children are having sex, I recommend all parents sit down and just tell them that.
Yeah, and then you have the pro-aborts coming up with these adoption horror stories, you know, saying that, oh, adoption is a terrible thing. They put a stigma on adoption, even though there are certain cases where that does happen every once in a while, that doesn't justify killing an innocent, defenseless child.
A number of children that get adopted and then wind up in one of these horrible situations is infinitesimally small.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's hard to adopt. It costs money to adopt. You have to go through a special process to adopt. How many people are going to go through that and then, you know, turn around and abuse their child?
If you hear a story about, and there was one like this in Dallas not too many years ago, a dogfighting ring was broken up by the police. And one of the things that they discovered was that this dogfighting ring would go in and adopt puppies that nobody wanted and use them as bait dogs to train the dogs that they fought. Now, my view at the time was these people ought to be put in a room with the dogs that they've trained to fight and just left there and let's see what happens with them. I got no use for these people. But I certainly wouldn't suggest that this means we ought to go into all of the shelters in the state and kill all the puppies in there because a few of them might get adopted and abused.
And the pro-aborts wouldn't say that either. You put certain things in place to try to prevent that from happening. But these pro-aborts are the same ones who love animal rescue and adoption. You know, you see them with the, I love my rescue animal. And then on the other side, you know, like
pro-choice.
Yeah, pro-choice.
Yeah, you know, all that nonsense.
Why is it okay for you to love animal adoption, but yet you, over here you say that it's okay for these babies to be killed?
It's the warping of compassion.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre to see that some people will say, you know what? The lesser evil is to kill a child because they may or may not experience some grief in their life, some pain. I mean, that's just the warping of compassion.
See, I honestly believe that most people who say that don't mean that. That's just an excuse that they use.
Right. I want to bring up something I said a moment ago about we have to watch our language. The other day I saw a thing from a crisis pregnancy center. And I don't want to criticize them because I don't think they truly thought through what they were doing.
Yeah.
But they were pushing a video called The Miracle of Birth. And it's supposed to show the baby being born and then the mother bonding with the baby and all this. And it's supposedly a really pro-life video that they use in their center. It's also very counterproductive for the pro-life movement. We've got to get away from this idea of the miracle of birth. There is no miracle that occurs at birth. Birth is just a point at which the baby changes locations. the miracle occurred 9 months earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
When you buy into the miracle of birth argument, mm-hmm. you're buying the pro-abortion argument. They're saying that the big issue is birth.
Yeah. Well, they're making it to be out that the miracle itself is being born. No, the miracle is life. Like you said, which
life
started
being created. Yeah.
9 months ago.
The miracle occurs at fertilization. Mm-hmm. That's the miracle. Mm-hmm. The birth is just the changing of location and the point at which we physically see the miracle. Mm-hmm. But the miracle had occurred 9 months earlier. Now, before we go, I want to, something Sarah said earlier makes me think about something. I'll just ask you, Sheila, I don't think I've ever asked you this. You know what a cotton boll weevil is? You've heard of them. It's like an insect that infects cotton bolls.
Okay.
The cotton plant, right.
And it can destroy a crop of cotton. Mm-hmm. And boll weevils come in two sizes. There's larger ones and smaller ones. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the difference between the larger ones and the smaller ones is?
Size.
How much they eat?
No. The smaller one is the lesser of two weevils.
Wow. You can no longer say that my jokes are corny.
Well, I just heard you say
you
the lesser.
You have lost the privilege.
I just heard you say the lesser of evils a minute ago about something, and I thought that's the
lesser of two evils.
You are no lesser of two weevils. You are no longer allowed to make fun of my humor.
The smaller one is the lesser of two weevils.
Wow.
Wow.
And on that note,
we're out of time.
Thank y'all for listening. If you like the episode, be sure to leave a review. We'll leave a link in the description for you to do that. Okay. Also, we ask that you follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and the list goes on. And make sure you encourage your friends to listen and follow the podcast as well.
Absolutely. And until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Why, Sheila?
Because winning is how the killing stops.
We'll see you next Thursday.
Bye, guys.